Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo. Thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2. Kiss the Future. New documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Go to Paramount Plus to try it free. Terms apply.
Hey, Mike Shaver here, and coming up on the Husker 24/7 podcast is Andrew Ivins, 24/7 Sports Director of Scouting. He joins to talk about Dylan Raiola and what he saw from watching him multiple times this season, how he might work as a freshman starter, and then more regarding several of Nebraska's commits from the 2024 class. Before we get there, though, a quick rundown of where things stand for Nebraska as they try to finish things up. Now, Dylan Raiola will be on campus this weekend. There was some chatter about some of the other names from the big March visit weekend when he came out here returning with him. But as of right now, all that's confirmed is just Raiola. It'll be interesting if there's some late movement. It'll be interesting if Nebraska can find its way in with somebody maybe in the second half of the cycle. It'll be interesting what a Dylan Raiola commitment might mean for 2025 recruiting. But right now, could be a pretty quiet weekend, but not at all an unimportant one. He's not the only visitor, though, as the Huskers also have a transfer portal visitor in Bly Hill on campus as well this weekend. He is a cornerback, and Nebraska is looking for someone to play opposite of Tommy Hill, or at least compete with Malcolm Hartzog for the upcoming season. And it could be this Hill, who played the past year for St. Francis and Pennsylvania, has a big frame. Seems like he could fit in well in the Big Ten. Nebraska had pretty good success with Omar Brown this past year. It took him a little bit of time to knock some of that rust off. He's coming back from injury, obviously, in 2022. But he was a really important part of things for Nebraska. He played safety. Bly Hill, I believe, would be looked at as a corner. Now, there were some other names that had been expected to visit, one of those being Murad Watson, the Kent State commit that popped up on Nebraska's radar just hours after he committed to Kent State. They made an offer. Rutgers made an offer. Rutgers got a visit last weekend. Nebraska was supposed to get one this weekend. However, it looks like he's going to be headed to Knoxville to visit Tennessee instead. Tennessee went in-home. It's unclear how heavily Nebraska was pursuing Murad Watson and for a potential visit and commitment and all of that stuff. But that is some news to pass along as well. It's been a busy week. It's been a wild week. But Husker 24/7 appreciates you for sticking alongside all of our coverage here at 24/7 Sports as we cover Nebraska. And, of course, Nebraska's looking to finish out its 2024 class with a bang, and we're going to have all the coverage for that as well. Signing day coming up, and there's nowhere else you'd rather be than Husker 24/7. But right now, let's just get to it. We're going to bring in Andrew Ivins, and we are going to talk some Dylan Raiola and a whole lot more. Welcome into the Husker 24/7 podcast here. I'm Mike Shaver, and this time joined by Andrew Ivins, the 24/7 Sports Director of Scouting. Andrew is kind of my go-to guy for whenever I need anything from Florida, Georgia, sometimes the Carolinas. Is there another state where I sort of reach out to you randomly? I don't know if you work into Alabama either, but it's a lot of Georgia and Florida and me annoyingly texting him, hey, can you give me thoughts on this guy? And then Andrew always giving me thoughts on whoever I asked for.
I mean, that's been my base, but, you know, doing way more national stuff in this kind of new role. But it's always going to be, as my good buddy Cooper Patagna likes to call it, it's always my backyard, right? He thinks anywhere in Florida is my backyard. And I'll be like, hey, man, the panhandle is about 10 hours away from me.
Yeah. So, That is one of those things that when you don't spend, I haven't spent that much time in Florida, But you forget just like how big that state stretches from a north-south perspective. So you're like, oh yeah, well, tell me about this guy up in Tallahassee. And you're like, well, maybe seen him once, that kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, it's a big state and there's a lot of recruits and you see a bunch of them. Before we get to Florida though, we're going to start right there in Georgia. Dylan Raiola, who is expected to be on campus today, this is Friday as we're recording it, expected to be on Nebraska's campus today. Known name for Nebraska fans, but not everybody has actually seen him play. A lot of people just know the name. They know the number. They know the five-star, the number one quarterback, that sort of thing. But what can you actually tell us, Andrew, about Dylan Raiola? Because I think people would be surprised to learn, like, he's 230 pounds. Like, obviously his dad was a center, so you know that there's size in the family. But this isn't like your prototypical high school, coming out of high school quarterback.
So the player comp I've always had for him, and – I don't want to say I've gotten pushback on it, but a lot of people are like, really? It's Ben Roethlisberger. Like, and it's kind of the size and how he just moves in the pocket and extends plays. Like, go back to Ben's heyday. You know, there was just his internal clock, you know, how he kind of moved around. And to me, Dylan has kind of always been the same way. Now, obviously, they're bigger guys. And that's just kind of, if you're trying to picture someone that's played on Sundays, like, that has been my go-to. And, you know, we're, what are we, 5 days out before the signing period. So at some point we got to settle on a player comp. And honestly, that's what I see in him. And some people might roll their eyes, but it's like Ben Roethlisberger played a lot of football on Sundays at a very high level. But as the player, you know, a guy that has moved around, obviously started off his prep career in Texas, was in Arizona, and then showed up in Georgia right before that senior season. So aside from the frame, you know, it's the arm. He has, I think, the best deep ball in this class. And he kind of verified that for us at the Elite 11 finals there, outside of Los Angeles back in June. You know, he wasn't named the MVP for us or the Elite 11 staff. That went to Julian Say and the Alabama commit. But, I mean, for us, there were some conversations about, hey, I think Dylan had the best 3 days. You know, it's multiple workouts. And, yes, it's shirts and shorts and whatnot. But, I mean, that's essentially a good chunk of the high-profile arms all competing alongside each other. So, he's got the arm, you know, he loves to do that, you know, make some drop the arm angle and get creative. I mean, if the opportunity presents itself, it's going to be I guess we just call it Mahomes-like in terms of that side arm or changing the slot. He's capable of doing that. And you see it a lot, and he's got a baseball background, you know, he was a catcher. So that'll frequently show up. And then I think the thing that really stands out about him is the command of the offense and then the fact that he takes care of the football. Threw 250 passes there as a senior at Buford, just one interception, which I think says a lot, because when you look at Buford, yes, it's a powerhouse program there outside of Atlanta, but he didn't really have the best supporting cast when it came to, like, the skill perimeter players. KJ Bolden, our number one ranked safety, you know, he would play some wide receiver, but it was never like he was throwing to, you know, these big 6'3", 6'4", targets, a lot of shorter guys. And I would love to see maybe the adjusted completion percentage if we had, you know, advanced analytics for high school. We do, fortunately do not. But, you know, he takes care of the football. He'll take his deep shots, but not a lot of risks. And he's not afraid to take a sack if it makes sense to take a sack. And that kind of really stands out to me. And I know I'm rambling here. And just the final thing, the fact that he arrived at Buford, I want to say, he said it was 6 weeks. I'm trying to play it back in my memory, but picked up their offense. And then, you know, first game of the season against St. Francis Academy, I mean, you could have told me this kid had been playing in it since Pop Warner days, you know, youth football. He had just picked it up that fast, was making checks at the line of scrimmage, and he felt, you know, in command and in control. And then when they needed him in the fourth quarter to come up big, he delivered.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that's fascinating about the Dylan Raiola Nebraska conversation, besides the fact that Nebraska is in it here as the signing day is less than a week away, because that was unexpected coming into the week. The thing that really sort of stands out is right now the quarterback picture in front of Dylan Raiola is Heinrich Harburg, who started, let's see, he started 7 games for Nebraska this year, 7 or 8 games. And then you have Chuba Purdy, who started the last 2. And Jeff Sims has gone into the portal. And yet the expectation is very likely that Dylan Raiola is going to be involved in the competition and could straight up be Nebraska's starting quarterback for the 2024 season. Andrew, you've watched a lot of high school quarterbacks in your time. Is it feasible to imagine a guy just being a true freshman quarterback in the Big Ten with just enrolling early? I mean, I feel like we don't see it as much in this conference. It's a lot of pressure on top of it, but it also seems like that's kind of what Dylan Raiola wants. Like, he wants the pressure. He wants the smoke, if you will.
Yeah. And, I spent some time with him at the Elite 11 finals, like one-on-one interview. And I can't remember where else I said this.
Could have been on 1620 where you joined us earlier.
Coming into it, I had really never had a one-on-one with Dylan. And I thought, I'm not going to like this kid coming out of, just talking with him. And that wasn't the case. What he said, what we talked about, I mean, I would have to go back and play the audio, but I thought it was going to be this like arrogant, cocky individual. And that I didn't get that at all from him. Now, I think he is someone who is very aware of his surroundings. And that kind of scares me a little bit for a potential true freshman starting quarterback. Because there's going to be a lot of noise, if they roll him out there early.
Especially for a legacy that everyone has known about for 3 years.
Right. And we're in this era now where, players are getting paid. I think it puts a lot of pressure on these individuals. With that being said, he's out of this crop of the 2024s, I do think I would put him probably near the top of the list of, I'm like, okay, like this guy can probably do enough to win, year one. And if you go back to the 2023 cycle, we had, what was that? 4 quarterbacks in our top 12. So it would have been the big 3, Arch, Nico Iamalieva at Tennessee, Dante Moore at UCLA. And then you had Jackson Arnold at Oklahoma. Moore was the only one that started, and I kind of thought he would be that guy. And then Jackson Arnold as well played a little bit, but it's hard. I mean, it really is hard. I was putting together, helping out with the true freshman All-American list, and the guys that played the most was an unranked kid out of North Carolina that signed with Arkansas State, and then Anthony Calandria, who was a at Virginia, who they flipped late from Middle Tennessee. And it was a bit of a roller coaster. So it's not easy. It's been done before. You had Jaden Rashada at Arizona State before he got hurt. But it is asking a ton. And I think, people might disagree. If I'm Nebraska, I would maybe try to bring in a veteran to have a competition and instead of just handing the keys to Dylan. Because I do think there's going to be some lumps, and you could say that about any of those 3 or 4 or 5 quarterbacks I mentioned last year in the 2023 cycle. I mean, it's not easy. It's just, when you watch the NFL, it's kind of the same thing. They usually try to bridge a guy, in that first round pick, by season's end, he's the starter, but I don't know necessarily if you want him week one.
Yeah. Well, that'll alone be fascinating to sort of follow. And then the other part of it to me, Andrew, is just like what Nebraska has on their roster is not exactly set up for a guy to just come in and be able to distribute the ball to these playmaking wide receivers. And they've got guys in Malachi Coleman and Jalen Lloyd that are 2 young wide receivers that I think have big play potential. And I'm excited when you talk about deep balls. And teams were just playing 0 safeties over the top of Nebraska at the end of last year, daring them to throw the ball over 10 yards. You're not going to get that with Dylan Raiola. So that in itself changes the sort of the defense that teams played heavily against Nebraska last season.
And if you look at his senior season there at Buford, I mean, it's kind of a run first program. Like they're not trying to score 50 or 60. Like that is not the end game. Hey, we're going to score 50 points. It's more of, all right, we're going to control the clock. We're going to be methodical with what we do. We're going to take our shots when they present themselves, but it's more of a, you know, ball control pro style type of offense. So if you spin that forward to Nebraska, I mean, I do think he could fit in that system. I'm not trying to label him as a game manager, but you know, you can run the football, right? Set up the play action. You don't need Dylan to throw 40 times to get the most out of him. I mean, he can throw 20, 25 passes, and I think it would be enough to win. And you bring up Malachi Coleman. When this all started kind of like transpiring, I think I was at the Shrine Bowl, like laying in my hotel room, and I'm like, man, Malachi Coleman, like he has to be the happiest individual if this plays out, because you know, Dylan is the one guy that's going to hit that 10-4 speed down the perimeter.
Yeah, well, and then you throw in Carter Nelson, and Nebraska's putting together some interesting athletes. They need some time to develop, but you know as well as I know, Matt Rhule loves his speed, loves his athletic profile, and I think Nebraska will continue to grow that out. And that just kind of leads me into this. We talked a little about on Wednesday when you joined here local radio, but I want to bring him back up. I think as an early enrollee, I think this is a guy that has a great chance to play. I think he might be someone that you'd be looking at on your freshman All-American for 2024 if he can stay healthy and play. But I'm really excited about Ja'Cory Barney getting to specialize as a wide receiver and Nebraska wanting someone that they can kind of use in a multiple role, getting him the ball behind the line of scrimmage, on some of those jet sweeps and that type of play, getting him the ball on screens. They couldn't really run that offense this year with their quarterbacks. I don't think that'll be as much of a problem moving forward. I think Ja'Cory Barney coming in early is going to push for quick playing time.
Yeah, I think the biggest hurdle Barney's going to have to overcome is probably
size.
I was going to say, you know, I like to call it body armor, you know, just bulking up a little bit. Now, the fact that he is going to get in early, right, and be in that strength program, I mean, it's going to come down to mindset and buying in. And if they can get, you know, 10, 15 pounds on him, then I would absolutely agree. He's been an interesting one to kind of follow and track, because I go back to 2 years ago, they had this 10 team jamboree down in South Florida. It's kind of a unique event. So, you know, what is that, like 900 kids on the field or something of that number. And I thought Ja'Cory Barney had the best day of anyone and might've been the best player on the field. And that's saying a lot, because, you know, there's guys like Hakeem Williams at Florida State. You know, I've always thought, hey, maybe try him on defense. I'm more of take those two-way athletes and stick him there. But he tracks the football well, can go up and get it for a slender guy. And then he's got that speed. I mean, he was a youth, like AAU track kid, hasn't ran here in high school, but man, when you turn on the tape and you see him move, it's like, all right, speed really isn't much of a question with Ja'Cory. And I know statistically a bit down as a senior, but that's in large part because they didn't have a quarterback his school, Miami Palmetto, and they used him a lot in the Wildcat. I was actually went down there to see him play Clearwater Academy International, I want to say in like September. Nasty lightning storm, and the game ended up getting canceled, which was not fun. But his head coach raves about him, you know, probably the best player that has come out of that program in a few years since they had Leonard Taylor, who's going to be drafted out of Miami, and then Jason Marshall is probably going to be drafted out of Florida. So they churn him out. I think you are right. You know, a guy to keep an eye on year one, just because of that speed and what he's able to do.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You don't want to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus. We'll be right back.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
Yeah. Another Florida guy for Nebraska in this class, and they've gone to Florida for defensive edge players for years, has not exactly gone well. And when they find a guy, they can't keep him. See Patrick Payton. And I know you love Patrick Payton, and I think he's been every bit the player that you thought he was going to be. And Nebraska, under that coaching staff, really, really liked him. Couldn't keep him. They're going to keep Willis McGahee the fourth. What kind of player is he? He's got such a unique kind of body profile for an edge. And then you have that, you know, like you have a team that's going to have potentially Dylan Raiola and Dylan Raiola and Willis McGahee on it. Like just some weird NFL names in this mix, but both of them not playing their dad's positions either. And they're both sort of unique in their body type and what they're going to be playing.
Well, Mike, you know, one of the number one kind of like indicators we look for when we build out these early rankings, which are becoming more and more important as everything gets accelerated, is NFL bloodlines. And I'm sure there's some people that are going to argue against that. But at the end of the day, if dad did it, you know, if your brother did it, if your mom did it, your siblings did it, you know, you have a better chance than someone that doesn't have that pedigree. So we look for that. And the NFL draft data backs that up. It backs it up every single year. Look at Caleb Downs, you know, the SEC freshman of the year. Josh Downs is his brother who's playing for the Indianapolis Colts. So we always kind of look for that. Willis McGahee, you know, was in the top 247 for us. I would love to have him in there. We're just kind of running out of spots. We'll see where he finishes in these rankings because he was excellent in the state title game for Miami Columbus, which won in the Sunshine State's highest classification. I think he had 8 tackles, 2 TFL, 2 sacks, 2 quarterback hurries. Here is my player comp for him for Nebraska in this class. I think he's the Cam Lindhart. I think he is, you know, when I use the term tweener, people take it as a negative, but like tweeners are in. Like if guys can get after the quarterback, just give me them on the roster. And the knock on Willis is probably going to be, all right, he doesn't have the longest arms. You know, it's a bit sawed off. He's 6'2" or whatnot. But you can win with those guys. And, you know, I'm a big fan of Willis. Is he going to be year one? I don't know. I didn't think Cam Lindhart was going to be year one, but I think it makes sense for Nebraska to go down into South Florida, get this guy with this profile who changed. Actually, I think he moved high school so he could graduate early or maybe not. I don't know if he's going to early enroll, but I'm a fan of him. And I'm sure there's going to be some point potentially where I'm going to be kicking myself. It's like, all right, we probably should have had this guy as a 4-star, but he's one of my favorites in Nebraska's class.
Is that sort of the pathway for Nebraska for the most part when it goes into Florida? Because if you think about Cam Lindhart, Ja'Cory Barney, and Willis McGahee, if they all had slightly better measurables, I don't see them leaving the state of Florida or leaving the Southeast in general. And I think some of it is Nebraska can find really good players who don't meet measurables and get them out of Florida because the projections are just going to, you know, favor other players of better body types.
I think that's some of it. And this is probably going to come off weird, but I do think with Mario Cristobal at Miami, all right, and then Florida State, who has been as active as ever, I mean, really since back in the early 2000s down in South Florida, like those guys right now are recruiting in that top tier. And you know, Mario's going to go after the biggest fish, whether that be in his backyard or nationally. I mean, they were recruiting nationally. And then Florida State's kind of doing the same thing. So I think that's allowing for Nebraska to have access to maybe that second-tier kid, right, who's, you know, they're not going to take because they want to be involved in the portal. They want to get these big fish. Like, I do think that is helping Nebraska. Now, Ja'Cory Barney's a guy that Miami, I mean, they evaluated him. They got him on campus. I had heard at one point that they wanted him. The Willis McGahee one is a little head-scratching to me because he's got a teammate on that defensive line that is committed to Miami. And it's not – I mean, if you watch a game, it's like, why would Miami, which has ties to Columbus, go for him and not the legacy recruit? So I think that's some of it. And I think it's a smart strategy. I mean, we – with this current transfer portal, how it's all playing out, all the names that are going in, I mean, there are going to be plenty of talented high schoolers that are going a level below where they should. And then there's kids that just aren't even going to sign. It's like if you know where to put your eyes and you kind of go through this stuff, you're like, wow. I mean, it's completely changed.
Yeah, I bet. One more down in Florida, and I appreciate your time here as always. Nebraska in the mix for Amari Sanders, another developmental defensive back out of Florida. Another thing the Huskers, regardless of coaching staff, love to go down to Florida and take a defensive back or two every year. Doesn't always work out, but it's been a thing that since I've been covering it since 2011, Nebraska, I think, has had a Florida defensive back almost every year in there. And Amari Sanders looks like he could be the next one in line. What do you know about Amari? And obviously, you know, we mentioned development here. This is a guy that's pretty green to football still.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, he's new to football. So I like that. I mean, if I was Nebraska, I would do the same thing. I would try to build out, you know, my roster or my secondary with guys from Florida. And usually that's because most of these kids have been playing like press man coverage since they were 8 years old. Now with Amari, it's a bit different. Basketball player by trade that has kind of pivoted to football here. You know, there's flashes on tape. I think he's got a ways to go. Listed at 6'2", I wish we had a verified measurement on him. He's at Gulliver Prep, which is where Sean Taylor went to school. Sean Taylor's, I think, brother or cousin went there and has been an all-impact guy at Rice. So, you know, they churn out some individuals. I had Jaylen Brown, who went to LSU last year. He was a top 247 recruit. I think he's got a ways to go. Just because he's like you said, he's still new to the position, but the length is there, the ball skills are there. I just think if he's gonna hang in the Big Ten and what the Big Ten's gonna look like, all right, you know, can you come up and make a tackle? Like, that's gonna be important. You have to do that at that level. You got to be good near the line of scrimmage, and that's kind of a question I have for him, you know, right now. But certainly a notable pickup for them potentially on signing day, because, you know, I don't know if Florida's big three were ever all in on him, but some of the other schools that mine South Florida and always find a gym or two, they were involved at various points.
All right, Andrew, I'm out of Florida questions. Just in general, you getting ready for signing day coming up? Do you anticipate smooth sailing, or, you know, is it going to be like every year?
Dude, my calendar is so booked. That's why I messed up the times with you.
No.
I'll leave you with this, because a Georgia fan did it on my podcast. I always said Rayola. It's actually apparently Ryola. And the way to remember it is I'm going to pour myself a glass of rye whiskey. So it's Ryola.
Okay.
That's what I was told by, I think there was bamboo in his handle. So I always catch myself, you know, Rayola. But maybe Husker Nation knows, seeing as dad played for Nebraska. So, it came out of nowhere. I was like, you know, we've been talking about this kid for 3 years and now we're changing how you pronounce his name.
Yeah. I mean, that's not, an unusual occurrence. There's definitely players in the middle of their careers at Nebraska that have changed the pronunciation of their own name. And you never know if it's what it had always been, or they just got tired of people getting it wrong or what, but that's nothing new. I'm terrible with pronunciations. Ask, I learn, and then I don't always commit to memory because I'm just bad at it.
I struggle so hard with the Pauly ones on the West Coast. And
you got to get Blair on the phone and ask him how to pronounce them, because I've done that before.
Yeah. Give me a voice memo here. And then it's funny, like the 2023 cycle, you know, my wife always catches me saying, we'll be watching games. I'm like, this kid has changed his name. I'm like, 6 months ago, he went by this. Now he's enrolled in college and he's just got like Eugene Wilson to Trey Wilson. I'm like, what is this, the same person? I can't even keep track. It's wild.
Yeah. Well, maybe Eugene will go into the portal while Trey will just stay at the school that he's at.
Yeah.
That's how it'll work. All right, Andrew, appreciate it. I know it's busy time for you, busy time for 24/7 sports, but you would do great work and wanted to introduce our listeners, not introduce, but bring you back for our listeners here at the Husker 24/7 podcast. Everyone, be sure to check out everything we got going on at Husker 24/7. Big weekend ahead. Dylan Raiola.
On campus. You know, I got it in your head, man.
Yeah, it is. And I will pronounce it two different ways in the same sentence. I am not the person you
listen
to for that. But we have plenty of coverage here this weekend with everything Nebraska has going on. So be sure to check that out at Husker 24/7.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.